Welcome to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church. The Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast can be heard Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on WASW 91.9 FM, American Family Radio. Thank you for making us part of your Lord's Day celebration. Now, with the message, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
I'd like to read this morning from Romans chapter 1, rather lengthy scripture reading, but I encourage you to take a Bible and follow along in the Bible as we read and study from God's holy word. I think most of you know what the word of God has to say about homosexuality. The word of God condemns it strongly, and I pray that God will help us to understand that it's something that should never be in any way participated in, and it should never be condoned. As Christians, we have a responsibility to speak out against ungodliness, whether the ungodliness is one thing or another. We have a responsibility to speak out against that. There are some particular sins that the Word of God stresses as being much more severe than others. There are some sins that God will destroy a nation for if they participate or tolerate those sins. I have no doubt that there has always been some homosexuality in the United States of America. There's never been the kind of openness and acceptance and promoting of homosexuality as there is in our day. It's the most amazing and disheartening and disturbing things that's going on in our society today is the promotion of homosexuality. It's promoted in our public schools. It's promoted on television. It's promoted in newspapers. It's promoted in every form of media that I know anything about. The sad thing is that many Christians are no longer standing up against homosexuality, and they're not speaking out against homosexuality, and they're having fellowship with those who are homosexual. That is wrong in the sight of God. I pray that God will help us this morning as we look at His holy word, that we might have a better understanding of the reason that homosexuality cannot be participated in, condoned, promoted, and that you and I, if we're going to be followers of God, if we're going to be faithful to Jesus, if we're going to honor God's holy word, then we have to speak out against homosexuality, and we cannot have fellowship with those that participate in those ungodly actions. Begin reading now this morning from Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. And I think that the book of Romans explains step by step what precedes homosexuality. There are sins that come before you get to that point of participating in homosexuality. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 16, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of God, says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I want you to know, brethren, if you're ashamed to speak out against homosexuality, you're ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This is part of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is not only the good news about eternal salvation, it's not only the good news about the kingdom of heaven, but the gospel of Jesus Christ contains all the teachings of God's holy word, the teachings of blessings when we obey God, and the teachings of cursings when we disobey God. All of that is a part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think there are many people who will read Romans 1:16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," and yet they are ashamed to speak out against homosexuality. If they're ashamed to speak out against that sin and ashamed to address that with individuals who are participating in that sin, they're ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're ashamed of Christ and you deny Christ before men, Christ will deny you before the Father. Please follow now I am not ashamed, Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I want to tell you, brethren, that part of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to tell anyone who is participating in any kind of sin, including homosexuality, the good news is that the gospel of Jesus Christ will teach them a way out of that sin, no matter what the sin is. And so he says, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation. Brethren, this is talking about being delivered from sin, the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. If you believe the Bible, you cannot go wrong with homosexuality. If you believe the Bible, you believe that God gives you the power to get away from all sin. Verse 17, after it says, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it says, for therein, in the gospel of Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I want you to notice it says, the righteousness of God is revealed in the Word of God. And then verse 17 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. You see the righteousness of God in verse 17, and you see the wrath of God in verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Brethren, there are churches and there are people who claim to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And no doubt many of them know God and they know something about the Bible, but many of them are holding the truth in unrighteousness. That is, they're condoning and commending those who participate in the ungodly actions of homosexuality. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. I want you to know that the wrath of God is not only going to be revealed from God, from heaven, against those who participate in those sins, but the wrath of God is also going to be poured out on those who know the truth but do not speak out against the ungodliness. Verse 19 says, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Whatever you know about the Word of God, God showed it to you. Verse 20 says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I'm telling you, brethren, anybody that looks around, anybody that has spiritual eyes, they can see that God created the heavens and the earth. And they can see that God formed man, and then He took woman and gave woman to the man, and the only, quote, safe sex, though schools may teach otherwise, the only safe sexual relations are those in the bonds of holy matrimony between one man and one woman. Plural wives, many women, or many men will soon be accepted in America. Bestiality, having sexual relations with animals, will soon be accepted in America, because we have gone down a path of destruction and we are beyond salvation, I believe. The judgments of God are going to come on America because we have murdered 50 million babies, and we have also, and that's, quote, legalized murder in America, and we have also legalized the ungodly sin of homosexuality. God will bring His judgment on our nation because we have gone so far away from God and His Word. We not only don't want to hear about God, we don't want to hear about the Word of God, we don't want to hear about Jesus Christ, but our government is promoting things that are completely contrary to the Word of God. The government is undermining Christianity today. The government is undermining the Word of God today. Therefore, I repeat, as I said earlier one Sunday, I am an enemy of the government of the United States, and the government of the United States is an enemy to me. They're against me, and I'm against the government. I am for our nation. I will fight for our nation. I'll do anything I can for the United States of America. I'm trying to do a lot to try to save America. But I'll tell you, brethren, unless America repents as Nineveh repented, unless the nation begins to, as a nation, fall on her knees in sackcloth and ashes and begins to repent and cry out to God, there is no hope for America without repentance. And God is still going to carry out judgment. We still have to reap, even if we repent, even if our nation falls on her knees today. I'm telling you, brethren, our nation still has to reap what we have sown. We are without excuse. Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, can anybody here doubt that our founding fathers knew God? Can anybody here doubt? You go to Washington, D.C., you go to anywhere where our nation was established and founded, and you will see God and the Word of God everywhere you go. Why? Because our founding fathers believed in God. They believed in Jesus Christ. They established this as a Christian nation. The laws of our land were founded on the Word of God. That's the reason the laws of our land are being changed today. I'll tell you, brethren, we're going to read about change in this chapter. There was a man who ran for president, and his whole foundation was change. Change. You're going to read about the kind of change that he's brought about and helped to bring about and helped further in the United States of America. You're going to read about that change in this chapter. Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And brethren, this is the beginning of homosexuality right here. You listen carefully. There is a process, there's a sequence of events that leads up to homosexuality. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I'm talking about, and this verse of Scripture is talking about children of God whose foolish heart was what? Darkened. Now, brethren, the only people whose heart can be darkened is children of God whose light, whose hearts have had light. And when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations. I'll tell you, brethren, there's a lot of vain thinking and vain imaginations in this world today. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Did you know there are people who think that the Word of God is foolish? I'll tell you, they're foolish to think the Word of God is foolish. And they profess themselves to be wise, and they profess themselves to be smarter than the Word of God is declaring. I'm telling you, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And verse 23 now, the word changed is going to be mentioned in verses 23, 25, and 26. I want you to see what these people who knew God and glorified him not as God, these people who became vain in their imaginations, these people whose foolish heart was darkened, these people who professed themselves to be wise but became fools, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image of man and beasts. They give glory to man, and they worship men, and they worship beasts. They love animals, and they love trees. And they, and listen now, there's nothing wrong with loving animals and loving trees. I love animals and trees and plants. But when you love animals and trees and plants, or you put them on the same level as human beings, you have gone beyond what the Word of God says. You've become a fool when you love animals and plants and trees, when you love them as much as a human being, and you put the animal life on the same level as human beings, you've gone against the Word of God. Man was made in God's image. Man is different than anything else on the face of this earth. And those who want to change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Those people that want to elevate man and beasts and plant life, they want to elevate it up above God. I'll tell you, brethren, they're fools. And they're headed somewhere. You watch where they're headed. They change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. Verse 24 says, wherefore God also gave them up. Now, brethren, I want you to know the only people God has ever given up to do anything are people that were already His people. God gave these people up. These were people who knew God, and they glorified Him not as God. And God gave them up when they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness. That's just one of many words that God's going to use in reference to homosexuality. God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed, here's another change now. That verse 23 says they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. Verse 25 says they changed the truth of God into a lie. Did you know, brethren, there are very few people that will stand on the whole truth of God's Word. When a person begins to compromise on any portion of God's Word, they have thrown the whole Word of God out the window. You cannot compromise on anything in God's Word. You compromise, let me tell you this, you compromise on the fact of creation, you're eventually going to compromise on everything else. You compromise on Genesis chapter 1, you're eventually going to compromise on the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You cannot compromise on creation. And you should not allow your children to ever be taught something contrary than the truth of creation. If you allow your children to be taught evolution, if they don't rise up, if they don't speak out, if you know that evolution is being taught, you have the responsibility to stand against that ungodly lie of changing the glory of the incorruptible God to an image. Verse 25 says, they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Listen, brethren, every one of us better be careful about verse 25, because if we worship the creature, now the creature can be some other creature, it can be animals, it can be other human beings, or it can be numero uno, it can be number one, it can be you. And if you worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, then you have changed the truth into a lie, and you've worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Verse 26, for this cause, now here's the reason now. Watch this carefully. I want you to see the sequence. For this cause, verse 26 says, for this cause God gave them up. You follow the wording there? God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which is meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. You see what he's going back to? Going back to verse 21. He's tying it all together. He's saying, this happens, then this happens, then this happens. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I'm telling you, brethren, God will turn his back on his people when his people turn their back on him. God will give them up to uncleanness. God will give them up unto vile affections. And God will give them over to a reprobate mind. Now, brethren, the people that have been given over to a reprobate mind are those that are going to be committing homosexuality and all the other things that are described in the rest of this chapter. God, when he turns his back on his people, there is no limit You listen carefully to what I tell you. There is no limit to the sin that people will perform in their lives when God removes His presence from their heart. Murder, adultery, homosexuality. It does not, after a while, it does not bother people who do not feel the presence of God in their lives. I want you to go back. Let's go back to Leviticus just a moment. Back up in your Bibles to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 18, the third chapter of the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 18, verses 22 through 24. The Word of God says here, and listen, brethren, you need to write these scriptures down if you don't know where they are. If you can't take the Word of God, which is the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation, if you can't take the Word of God and help people look at the Word of God and see the Word of God, you cannot convert them just based on your Word. It takes the Word of God. And so it is, you need to know where all of these scriptures are. You need to ask people to read these scriptures. You need to ask them to think about them and then tell them you'd like to sit down and talk with them after they have read these scriptures. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. The Word of God says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Now that's what God says. It's an abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these things the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. What does God say there in verse 24? He says, all the other nations that I have ever cast out, all the other nations that I've ever destroyed, these are the kinds of things that they did. God does not change. God, who cast out all other nations who have had homosexuality abounding in them, God, who has cast out all nations that allowed bestiality in it, God, where His people have failed to rise up and speak out, God has always brought out His judgment in a mighty way. Look at Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus 20 verse 13. Leviticus 20 verse 13 says, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, for their blood shall be upon them. I want you to know, brethren, the Word of God puts homosexuality, it's a capital offense. It's something that calls for capital punishment. It calls for death. That's God's Word, is that those who commit those sins are to be put to death. Now go with me to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis, back up just a few pages to Genesis chapter 19, and you'll see that in the city of Sodom, Sodom and Gomorrah were very wicked cities. Do you know how Sodom and Gomorrah got to the point that they were in when God destroyed those cities with fire and brimstone from heaven? You know how they got there? It's described way back there over here in Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 tells you what led to the condition in Sodom and Gomorrah before homosexuality abounded. Homosexuality did not always abound there. But as homosexuality began to abound, then God, and you know, God by His grace delivered Lot and his wife and their two daughters. God delivered them. They didn't deserve to be delivered. Do you understand that? Because they had intentionally and willfully, first of all, he became carnal. And when Abraham told him, you can choose any land you want, he began to choose a place that was the most lush land. And his greed took over. And then the scripture says, instead of him turning his back toward Sodom, he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Did you know if you're allowing homosexuality to be watched on your television or on your computer, or if you're looking at things pertaining to homosexuality, I want you to know you have pitched your tent toward Sodom, and you're looking at things that God is going to judge you for, and eventually you're going to be sitting right in the midst of them. If you're not already there, that's where you're going to be. Lot lost his wife. Lot lost all of his possessions because he compromised on the sin of homosexuality. Genesis chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. The Word of God says, Genesis 19, verse 1, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them." That's two angels. These are also, I think, these are terrestrial angels. These are men who are messengers that were sent to Lot. That's what the word angel means, is messenger. "And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, 'Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways.'" Do you know why he wanted them in and out in a hurry? Because he was ashamed of what he was involved in. And he didn't want them to know what he was living in the midst of. So he said, "You come into my house quick. Come into my house, and in the morning you can get up and go." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." Now, why didn't he want them to abide in the street? Because homosexuality was abounding, and he knew those two men would have been raped if they had stayed there in that city that night. Verse 3 says, "And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat." Verse 4, "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, 'Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out to us, that we may know them.'" That word "know" is talking about intimate relationship, intimate sexual relationship. They wanted to have sex with those two men. "The men of the city came to these two new men, wanting to have them." Verse 6 says, "And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, 'I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof.'" Do you hear what Lot is actually saying he's willing to do? "I'm willing to give you my two daughters. Just please don't take these two men of God." Horrible thing, horrible condition that Lot has stooped to. You're familiar with this passage of Scripture, how the two men virtually drug Lot and his family out of the cities of Sodom before the fire and brimstone came down. But God, through these two men, God told Lot and his family that as they were fleeing from the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, don't look back. And Lot's wife looked back, and she died. Brethren, she looked back when the judgment of God was coming upon the city of Sodom. The judgment of God was fire and brimstone came down on that city. That city burned up. The Scripture says that in Genesis 19, verses 24 and 25. Do you need to tell other people about the sin of homosexuality? Do you need to warn other people about what God will do to His children when they continue in that way? Brethren, I pray that God will help us to understand this. Listen carefully in closing. Listen to this. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the saints of God at Corinth, he said this. It's a marvelous, wonderful truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." You see the amazing grace? They heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They heard, "By the power of Christ, I can leave whatever I've been involved in. There's nothing you can't get away from with the power of Jesus Christ." And so he says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." What a wonderful thing when God washes and cleanses and fixes somebody up and they return. Listen to what I said. They return to the glory of God. I pray that God will help us not just to declare the judgments of God, but to also declare there is hope. there's deliverance for anybody, no matter what sin, even homosexuality, there's deliverance for them, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.
Now, on to the second message for today.
If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to Luke chapter 14. I would like to read from Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 15 and reading through verse 24. The Word of God here is talking about eating bread in the kingdom of heaven. Now, the bread that's under consideration, of course, is not the kind of bread that we typically think of when we talk about breaking bread. That was a common term that people used when I was growing up. People would say, how about coming by one day this week and breaking bread with us? That was a common term that was used. It didn't mean break some bread. It meant eat some food. Breaking bread meant eat some food. The breaking of bread is something that certainly in biblical times was often done. The bread was probably one of the main foods that they had was the bread. Bread is sometimes called the staff of life. That is the natural bread that we eat. It has so many ingredients in it that you could actually live on bread and water. Bread has the nutrients in it that we need. And so in the natural realm, we eat natural bread and we enjoy, usually, eating natural bread. Our bodies also need, just like our bodies need natural bread, our souls need spiritual bread. Your soul and my soul, the soul of every child of God, it needs to be fed. It needs spiritual bread. There are comparisons in the Word of God to natural bread and spiritual bread, and showing that the body needs natural bread and our soul needs spiritual bread. That's what Jesus is talking about here in Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 15. The Word of God says, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now here, remember those words. Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And remember, the kingdom of God is different than eternal heaven. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And the Word of God says here, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. I don't think he's talking about natural bread. I think he's talking about spiritual bread. It's a great blessing to eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now the next verse then says, then said he unto them, that is Jesus said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. I believe that this supper that was prepared has reference to the spiritual bread that we need to partake of. I believe that in the house of God, and that's what this passage is talking about, is that in the house of God, the people of God ought to be fed the Word of God. We need to hear the Word of God. If we're going to grow and develop, we need the Word of God. If we're going to make it through the coming week, we need the bread, the spiritual bread that God has for us. And so it is, the Word of God says that that a man made a great supper, and he bid his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Verse 18 says, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. Now, why do people make excuse about not wanting spiritual bread? I think one of the reasons is they don't know how much they need spiritual bread. Another reason is that sometimes the people of God are so involved in the worldly things for their body, they don't realize that the real unhappiness, the real uneasiness, the real void that they have in their lives is actually in their soul and not in their body. And you can do everything that you could ever aspire to do to try to satisfy a human being. And you can give them food, natural food. You can give them houses and shelter and give them everything they want. I'm telling you, a child of God will never be satisfied just with the natural things of this world. The natural food and the natural blessings of this world, they cannot satisfy the soul at all. The spiritual food that we need is what our soul needs. And that's what God had prepared, is a supper to feed the souls of his people. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee have me excused. Now, listen, brethren, if a man bought a piece of ground without ever looking at it, he's not a very wise person. And if he's bought a piece of ground and he's so interested in that piece of ground that he just wants to keep going and looking at that land is a god in his life. Either way, this individual turned down spiritual food because he had some natural things on his mind. Did you know natural things sometimes are on our mind so much that we cannot concentrate on spiritual food? This man had bought a piece of ground. He made an excuse. Verse 19, another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I go to see if they're good oxen. Well, you don't buy ground without first checking it out. You don't buy oxen without checking them out. I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now, these are just 3 particular examples that were given by Jesus about people who made excuses about why they could not come to the supper that God had prepared for them. And I believe in all ages of the world, these same kinds of excuses are made by the people of God. It's absolutely amazing to hear the excuses that people make about why they can't go to the house of God, why they can't go and feed on the Word of God. Verse 21 says, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Now listen carefully to verse 23. And the Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Now, brethren, I think it's important that all of us understand you and I have a responsibility to be inviting people to come to the house of God. It pleases God when his house is filled. God is not pleased when his house is not filled. He is not pleased when his children make excuses about why they can't go to the house of God. He says, go out and compel people to come that my house may be filled. Now, I believe that it's the will of God that his house be filled with people. And I believe it's also the will of God that when the people of God come to the house of God, it is imperative that the people of God be fed with spiritual food and that their souls be filled. And so it is that I often pray every week. I pray for God to fill the house of God with his people and to fill his people in the house of God. Fill them with the word of God. Give them the spiritual food that they need. I cannot prepare the food for you. God is the one who prepared this supper. I can get up and try to preach the word. I can get up and try to teach the word of God. But God is the one that has to make the application for it to be food for your soul. Otherwise, all it is a lot of words. I believe when you come with the right spirit and for the right purpose, I believe that God will feed your soul. I believe he's promised that in his word. Go with me back to Isaiah chapter 55. In Isaiah chapter 55, the word of God makes a great contrast between the buying and the selling that we're often doing to try to get something that's going to make us happy. And he says, now, you're buying and selling, and you're trying to get something to satisfy you, and all the buying that you're doing is not going to satisfy you at all. In Isaiah chapter 55, beginning with verse 1, Isaiah 55, beginning with verse 1, the word of God says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Now, brethren, the word of God here and many other places is going to refer to the word of God as being water for your soul. It's going to be food for your soul. It's going to be wine. It's going to be milk. All of those are expressions about the Word of God that's for your soul. The Word of God says desire. Peter says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. He's talking about your soul growing, not just about your body growing. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money. Isn't that wonderful? These poor saints from the nursing home that are here every Sunday morning, they don't have any money. Well, occasionally, and there's one or two of them that they bring their tithes every week, and they want it in the collection plate. And that's a blessing. But brethren, there's a lot of them that don't have anything. And those that don't have anything, God's just as pleased with them as he is those that give. The only thing God requires is those that have, they better give. You better give your tithes and your offerings in the house of God. But isn't it wonderful when poor people, and you may find today in your life that you are poor. I'm talking about that you don't have any money at all. When you find yourself so poor that you can't go buy anything, I want you to always remember there's something that will satisfy you that money cannot buy. And when your soul is full, you're going to be satisfied in every way in your life. You can fill up your body and it not be satisfied, but if you fill your soul, you'll be satisfied. The scripture says now, he says, come ye, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. That is, you cannot buy spiritual food. You can have $1 million in the bank and tell a preacher, I'll give you $1 million to feed my soul, and he can't feed your soul at all. Money cannot buy the Spirit of God. Money cannot buy spiritual food. He says, come and buy spiritual food, but you can't buy it with natural money. Verse 2, he says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Now, were they buying natural bread? Yes. Were they buying natural food? Yes. Was that natural food and natural bread what he's talking about? He says, no, there's something far better than that natural food. Why are you spending your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul, you notice the wording there, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Brethren, when the soul is fed with the Word of God, when God feeds your soul is going to be fat. And that's a wonderful blessing in the Word of God, is for a soul to be full of the Word of God. And let me say this, no more can you be a healthy person by eating once or twice or three times a week. You likewise cannot be spiritually healthy if all you're eating, even if you eat the Word of God every time you come to the house of God, you still cannot be spiritually healthy if that's the only food that you get. You need natural food every day, and you need spiritual food every day of your life. And the wonderful thing is, you can buy the food. You can go to the Word of God at home every day. There are people in this congregation that I know who every single day of their lives, before they ever eat breakfast, before they read the newspaper, before they do anything else, they sit down with the Word of God. And they feed on the Word of God, and their souls are full, and they're happy people. And others are so busy, they don't have time to read the Word of God, and they're very unhappy people. Though they can buy a lot of things, and though they do buy a lot of things to try to be happy and satisfy that emptiness, they can't buy enough. They can't buy everything in the world and satisfy their soul. Verse 3 says, "Incline." Watch this now. He says, after he says in verse 2 to eat that food, then in verse 3 he says, incline your what? Ear. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. You see, it's hearing the Word of God. It's feeding on the Word of God. It's listening to the Word of God that gives you, that's the avenue through which your soul gets food. He says, Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Come down to verse 10. I want you to know, brethren, that the Word of God, when it is preached, the Word of God, when it goes forth, it never returns to God void. Watch the wording. In Isaiah 55, beginning in verse 10, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may be, give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." What's the word of God being compared to in verses 10 and 11? It's being compared to the rain and the snow. And the rain comes down and waters the earth, and it brings forth plant life. I'll tell you, brethren, the Word of God, the preached Word of God, as it waters the souls of the people of God, they bring forth fruit abundantly in their lives. And the people of God, when they're bringing forth fruit, the sower is blessed, and the one that sent the rain is blessed. God is blessed when He sees you who have been watered by the Word of God and fed by the Word of God, when He sees you bringing forth fruit to His honor and glory. Verse 12, "For ye shall go out." I want you to watch the wording now. Do you remember the text back over there? And I didn't say it was a text, but it is. In Luke 14, verse 15, the Scripture says, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." You remember the wording there? Blessed is he that shall eat bread. You know why you're blessed? You're blessed because your soul's going to be filled. You're blessed because when you eat bread in the kingdom of God, you're going to be satisfied. You're blessed because when you eat bread in the kingdom of God, you're going to bring forth fruit to the honor and glory of God. And so it is in verse 12, Isaiah 55, 12. The word of God says, "For ye shall go out." If you've been drinking in this water, if you've been drinking in the Word, if you've been buying the right kind of food, "ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace." You think it's by chance that the New Testament defines the kingdom of God as righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost? And then God says in Isaiah 55 that when the rain comes down and waters your soul and your soul is fed and you bring forth fruit, He says you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. "The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." I'm telling you, brethren, the Church of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God is a place where the Word of God is spiritual food for God's dear children. And when you take it in and you drink it and you eat it, it brings forth fruit in your life. And you're satisfied and God is glorified when you're bringing forth fruit. Nothing makes, you know, people that don't work, people that don't produce anything, they never have any feeling of being worth anything, you know? I don't understand how people sit around and do nothing all the time. I don't understand how people can just sit back and never do anything. I enjoy being productive in different ways. I enjoy producing things. I enjoy studying the Word of God. I enjoy seeing things in the Word of God. I enjoy preaching the Word of God when I can feel the presence of God's Spirit. I enjoy seeing God's people feed on the Word of God. I enjoy seeing God's people bring forth fruit after they've been watered and after they've been fed, and they've drank that milk, and they've drank that wine, they've eaten the bread of the food of the Word of God, and then they go forth and they bring forth fruit. God's glorified, they're happy because they're pleasing God. God's pleased with their lives, and they go forth with joy, and they go forth with peace in their lives if they take in that water and that bread. Go with me to John chapter 6 very quickly. Let's listen to what Jesus says about the bread of life. "Blessed is he Remember the text in Luke chapter 14 and verse 15 says, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Now listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 6. First notice verse 27, because Jesus is again showing a major difference between natural bread and spiritual bread. Though there are a lot of similarities, he's saying if the only thing you're after, if what you're laboring for is natural bread, if what you're laboring for is to satisfy your body, you can buy boats, you can buy houses, you can buy cars, you can buy guns, you can buy everything you might want or think you want, and you will never be happy if your soul is not satisfied. You ever seen a little gerbil? He gets on that wheel and just runs and runs and runs, and he doesn't go anywhere. It reminds me of a scripture in the Old Testament that says there was a certain king that had 70 nephews, and they rode around on donkeys. And that's all the Bible says about those 70 men, is they rode around on donkeys. Now, I would hate for God to say, "My son Billy rode around in his car. My son Billy rode around in his boat. My son Billy just rode around all his life. He just walked around. He just went in circles like a little gerbil." Do you ever feel like you're on a little wheel going round and round and round? Sometimes I get like that. Sometimes life gets so busy, I feel like I'm just running in circles, just going round and round. But listen, brethren, if I'll stop and start feeding on the Word of God, and I begin to satisfy my soul instead of my body, I find great peace and great joy. I'm happy when I'm in the Word of God, when I'm feeding on the Word of God, when God is feeding me. Let me tell you something different. There's a big difference in you going on the internet and just taking something that's canned and you taking the Word of God and you reading the Word of God and God feeding your soul. It's a big difference. When you feel like, and I've had a lot of the men here that have done this, that have called me up, when they would first start coming to church and first start seeing the truth, they'd come up and say, "Brother Billy, look at this. I know you've probably never seen this before. I want you to look at this." Now listen, brethren, that's when the Spirit of God is feeding your soul and you feel like this is the newest dish that nobody else has ever seen, this beautiful dish that God prepared for me. You ever felt that way? That God gave you something out of His Word. Well, the only people that are going to feel that way are not people just come and just get fed at the master's table in the house of God, but when they're on their own and they're reading and they're studying the Word of God, and God says, "Look at this, look at this, look at this." He's feeding your soul. He's giving you something that you'll feel like, "That's the best thing I've ever had in my life. Wonder why Brother Billy can't ever see something as pretty as this. This is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen." You follow me? When God shows you something, brethren, it's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And He'll show you things every week if you'll read and study His Word. He'll feed your soul every day if you'll just read and study His Word. John chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus makes this statement. He says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth." Now, what's He talking about? Labor not for the meat which perishes. He's talking about the natural things of this world. Don't concentrate on the natural things of this world. How did He say it in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." The food, clothing, and shelter that you need, God will take care of those things, but seek first the spiritual food, and He'll give you the natural food. So He says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed." Jesus will give you spiritual food. It's a promise that He gives you right here. If you labor for this spiritual food. See, He says, He's contrasting. Don't labor, don't concentrate on that meat which perisheth, but labor for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Come down to verse 32. Verse 32, then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven." Now, they thought Moses gave them bread from heaven, and He did give them some bread from heaven, but it was natural bread for the natural body, which is different completely than what Jesus is talking about we all need. So he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." That bread from heaven, and we're going to see what it is. For the bread of heaven is, what's the next word? He. The bread of God is He. That's Jesus. The bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto Him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." There are three times in this one chapter that Jesus clearly makes it known, "I am the bread of life." You see, when we preach the Word of God, see, I've been preaching so far mainly about how reading and studying and hearing the Word of God is food for your soul. That's the bread of life you need. Yes, it is. But you know what you see? If you hear the Word of God, you see and hear Jesus. Jesus is preached any time and every time that the Word of God is really preached. You can preach on the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is still being preached because He's the King of the kingdom of heaven. You can preach on the church. I could preach for 6 months on the church, and I'm preaching Jesus because Jesus is the head of the church. He's the one that built the church. He's the one that gave Himself for the church. Doesn't matter. Listen, the Apostle Paul said, "I came to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Everything that is fundamental, election, predestination, election, all of those are preaching Jesus Christ. Everything practical is preaching Him crucified. You and I, as the people of God, we need the whole Word of God. We need the fundamental doctrine. We need the practical doctrine. We need all the teachings of the Word of God. And when you hear the Word of God, here's the way a songwriter says it that's true. He says, "Beyond the sacred page, we seek Thee, Lord." The written word, the preached word, is all about the living word, Jesus Christ. Have you ever supped with Jesus? You remember how Jesus said to him that overcometh, "Will I give to eat?" This is Revelation 2:7. He says, "To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life." You know who the tree of life is? It's Jesus. And then he says in Revelation 2:17, he says, "To him that overcometh will I give to eat the manna that cometh down from heaven." You ever eaten that manna that came down from heaven that God fed you with? Brethren, you and I as the people of God, we need to thank God for the privilege that we have to feed on the Word of God. Let me say one thing in closing. If you will, listen carefully to Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. Listen carefully. "Behold, the day is come." And I'll tell you, brethren, the day is coming in America and is fast approaching where it's already true. Did you know there is already a famine in the land? The United States government can provide food and do all kinds of things to help people that are hungry and that need food for their natural body. But the United States government cannot give one person food for their soul. And there's a famine of hearing the Word of God today. There is a famine of spiritual food. That's what that brother was talking about that was here this morning when he said he goes to his church and all he hears is, "Give me money, give me your money, give me your money." He said, "That's all I ever hear." But this morning he said, "I heard the Word of God." In Amos chapter 8, verse 11, the Word of God says, "Behold, the day is come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine." Will God send a famine in the land? Most people don't know this God, the God of the Bible. They don't know Him. They know a little old man that's just wanting to do all kinds of things if you'll let him. Well, that's just not the God of the Bible. The Word of God says, "The days come that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." That's a famine where the souls of God's people are going to dry up and cry out for spiritual food. Verse 12 says, "And they shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it." Brethren, if you're able to partake of the Word of God, if you're able to feed on the Word of God, if you're able to have your soul fed, you need to fall on your knees tonight and thank God for the privilege that you have of reading and studying His Word and being fed at the Master's table. Please don't make an excuse tomorrow about not feeding on the Word of God tomorrow. Feed on the Word of God every day is my prayer for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church. Find us on your radio Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on 91.9 FM, WASW, American Family Radio. Lord willing, join us next Sunday. And until then, let's blow the trumpet in Zion. We now rejoin American Family Radio.